word and let your voice be heard. It's Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
Trust in you. but my family's depending on me. So I'm asking you
one more time.
Oh,
Lord, I need you.
Yes, I need
to do it one more time.
But I'm counting on you
one more time.
There's one thing that I know is true. When everything else fails, yeah, I can count on you. With tears in my eyes, down on my knees. Can you do what you did before, Lord? I'll ask if you believe. I've got to make my request like it. Broken heart. Listen. Lord, I need you to pull my family through. Lord.
You said trials
are gonna make me strong.
Yes,
so Lord, I need you.
Lord,
I need you.
Just one more time.
Please.
Lord, I need you.
I know that you're able.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Praise in the City here on your favorite station, Praise 103.9 FM. I'm Tiffany Bacon. Thank you so, so very much for joining me today. You know, I always appreciate it. Today we have a friend to the show joining us. He's been with us before, but he's here to give us some legal information on the topic of how to protect yourself when you are accused of something you did not do. And the subtopic of that is, what are the legal ramifications of revenge? So we're covering both of those topics in the program this morning. And we welcome your phone call at 215-263-1039. 215-263-1039. Joining us from Johnson, Russick, and Page Law Firm, we have Sean Page Esquire joining us this morning. Good morning, Sean. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you again.
All right. Let's make sure you are up and clear and loud and all like that. So we are talking this morning about how to protect yourself from being accused of something you didn't do, and colon, the legal ramifications of revenge. And we're going to start this off with a story ripped from the headlines. If you haven't heard, Governor Christie is being sued by residents of New Jersey for being late to work because there were members in his administration that ordered the shutdown of several lanes on the George Washington Bridge going from New Jersey into New York. And those people were subsequently late for work, and there was some and the reason behind it was more of a retaliatory reason, a political retaliation in there, not necessarily ordered by the governor, but members of his staff. And so the residents decided, you know what, this is not okay. I'm late for work. I'm paying for this, so we are going to sue you. So Sean, talk to us a little bit about what you know about this situation, and has anything like this happened before? How likely is this to happen?
Well, Tiffany, I have never seen an outlandish case of political retaliation like this one. It's alleged that the bridge closures were motivated by the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey's failure to back Governor Christie in his re-election campaign. The citizens of Fort Lee filed this federal lawsuit against Governor Christie and some of his staff, alleging that they were deprived life, liberty, and property for several hours under the due process clause of the 5th and 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Also, not only are they claiming that they were late for work, the other cause is that there was some undue stress. And looking at the not so recent terror attacks in New York, these individuals are landlocked, if you will, on the George Washington Bridge. They're not getting the requisite information to calm their nerves. And you can imagine, you know, if you had a school-aged child on a school bus traveling to school on this bridge, not getting the requisite information that you would need, you would probably suffer some undue stress yourself.
Freak out. Point blank, you would freak out. Lord forbid you had to go to the bathroom, or you had a big meeting or a job interview, whatever. You know, those situations could be what you're faced with if you are late, and clearly you can't do anything about that.
Well, one thing you can't do is get off the bridge. I mean,
you sure can't.
There were, I'm sure, communication devices, cell phones and such, iPads, laptops, so they could communicate. However, that doesn't excuse the the actions of the Christie administration. In addition, if you calculate or factor in the delayed response times for emergency professionals, law enforcement officials. In fact, I think there was a woman who died allegedly as a direct cause of the delayed response time of one of the EMTs. So, I mean, there is a ongoing ripple effect. They're local, state, and federal investigations ongoing. So this is going to unfold for quite some time.
And this is all alleged to be an action based on some form of retaliation.
Yes, yes. It's alleged to have been motivated by the mayor of Fort Lee, New Jersey's failure to back Governor Christie's re-election campaign.
Now, okay, so here we're on the praise station. So we already know the Bible says, you know, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. And we're not supposed to engage in such things. But there are times when things come up and you're so angry, you're like, I need to get back at him. I need to get back at her for this. And a lot of times things are done hastily and without thinking. And who thinks of the long-term ramifications like this situation here? What would you say from a legal perspective, things people need to really keep in mind when you want to get back at someone for something, even if it's just a little small, I'm going to get back at you, like that song by Jasmine Sullivan, you know, bust the windows out your car. You're so mad. You want to retaliate against someone's property.
Well, you never want to do anything criminal, obviously. You always want to, you know, take a moment, gather yourself, and think about what you want to do, how you want to do it, and the right way to go about things. And sometimes you just want to turn the other cheek. You don't always have to retaliate or get back. And if there is a situation where you do have to or need to get back, there's proper legal ramifications, proper legal steps to take. If you have legal recourse, you should contact an attorney, consult with an attorney, and see if you do have that legal recourse. And if so, act that way.
Okay. And we're going to take your calls. I see we have a caller on the line. And Dave, I see you're there. We're going to get right to you in a matter of moments. Let's speak specifically now about people who are accused of doing something that they did not do. How can we protect ourselves, especially in the workplace? And we can talk about personal stuff, too, because that gets a little hairy, scary every now and again if you date the wrong person or if your marriage is going bad. Sometimes people put accusations out there. How can you protect yourself from such a thing?
Well, you cannot always preempt something like that. But if it is a situation where there's an ongoing issue or ongoing beef between a number of individuals, you always want to, in the workplace, inform supervisors, inform people in a higher position, document incidents, altercations, and so on and so forth. Always go to HR. Let HR know. Find out what procedures are in place inside of your place of employment that can help you through these type of situations.
All right, good stuff. We want to hear from you. Have you ever been accused of something that you didn't do? If so, how did you handle it? If you're in the midst of it and you're looking for some legal advice, this is a good time to get your questions answered. So reach out to us, 215-263-1039. Have you ever been accused of something that you did not do? How did you handle it? If you are in that situation right now and you need some legal advice, give us a call, 215-263-1039. Let's go to line one, speak with Dave, who is up. Dave, who just left us. Okay, Dave, hopefully you'll come back because we see you had a good question. So we want to give your question an opportunity to be answered. So Dave, give us a call back, 215-263-1039. So if you're talking about, say, there's a situation where you and a coworker don't get along, and you have clearly done nothing, but the coworker decides to say that you have been harassing them, and there's no like evidence, there's no way to like do any kind of paper trail. They just up and say it one day, and now you're getting pulled into the office and you're getting a talking to. What should you do?
Well, during that talking to, if you will, I think you just lay everything out to the supervisor, to the employer at the incipient or early stage of the altercation. Based on that example, it doesn't sound like the altercation has evolved to a point where an individual is facing termination. So at that point is when you want to involve your superiors at work. That's when you want to begin documentation from that point on. Also, if you can, you want to avoid that person. If it's someone that you work with
directly,
you want to, for lack of a better term, kill them with kindness. You want to be very nice, be polite. And as adults, we have to sometimes learn to work with difficult people.
Amen. Suppose, because I'm giving you a lot of examples from either things I've witnessed or things I've heard about from friends and colleagues. If that person is the one harassing you by doing little things that are not just annoying, but could possibly be detrimental to kind of dig at you, but you can't prove it, you can't really document it, you can't really set up cameras around your desk or anything like that, but it's very subliminal, but they are harassing you and claim that you are harassing them. How do you handle a situation that's not easily documented?
Well, I think the process is the same. You just want to involve the superiors. Oftentimes we can't set up surveillance equipment at work. But if there are people who work in close proximity and close quarters with you, maybe you can have a coworker validate your claim. If not, you just have to keep the superiors involved allow them to take action.
Now, if you are, what does the law say about setting up surveillance around your own stuff, whether you're at work or at home? Are there loopholes in there? Are you allowed to do that? And if you catch someone on, like, if you put a hidden camera on your desk, can you actually use that as evidence, or can it be thrown out?
Well, That's a three-part question.
Sorry.
Okay. Firstly, you are permitted by law to set up surveillance around your home, and in a criminal matter, that under certain circumstances, if it can be authenticated in court and such, that could be admitted in the prosecution of someone who has committed a crime against you. At work, that's a different animal because you have to abide by your employer's rules and regulations, and there could be some privacy violations at work as well in terms of not only your coworkers but also your clients.
Okay, so would you suggest, even at the onset that there may be a problem, should you ask or look into your company's policy? If I need to set up surveillance, am I allowed to? Would that be a good thing to do or just not?
Well, yes, you would want to look into it if you desired to do that. You would want to get all the information that you could, even approval, before you did something like that. But that's something that, you know, again, I don't believe most employers would allow because of certain confidentiality issues with not only the co-workers, but also the clients.
All right. Let's take a call. Again, we're looking for your call at 215-263-1039. Our question to you is, have you ever been accused of something you didn't do? If so, how did you handle it? Part two, if you're in the midst of that situation right now and you're looking for legal advice, give us a call because Sean will be able to help you. 215-263-1039. Let's speak with Elaine calling in from Warrington, PA. Elaine, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, how are you doing, hon?
Good. How are you?
Very good. I'm just getting home from work and have my radio on, which I always listen to this radio station and get very, very good inspirational from there.
Awesome.
And, you know, was, you know, very, very, you know, glad to hear, you know, about getting legal advice and stuff because I work at a nursing home and management, you know, will do anything. You know, they try to set you up, co-workers. I mean, I don't know what they get out of it, but they try to set you up for you to lose your job. They lie, the resident, the behavior and stuff like that, and they don't do nothing. And you also have union, and you think the union will fight for you? Oh, my God.
Okay. So, wait. Elaine, sounds like you have a large situation happening here. So, Sean, how would you best guide her, and what advice would you give her?
Well, Elaine, I don't know exactly what it means to set you up. However, whenever you're working in the healthcare profession, there's always an abundance of documentation, whether you're issuing medication, whether you're showering or changing linen, whatever you're doing in that healthcare capacity, you always want to document. So my advice to you would be to document each and everything that you do, document very thoroughly and to the best of your ability, and that should help you through this time.
What I'm trying to say is that we have like behavior resident, and management is not doing anything. They would rather fire you than, you know, said, you know, to the resident or to the family, this person has a behavior problem, and we would like to have, you know, deal with it, talk to them about it and stuff. They would rather fire you because, you know, I'm the kind of person that I speak up. I don't go for that. If I see something is wrong, I'm going to speak up, and they don't like a person that speak up. That's what they do, and they hide behind, you know, behind their, you know, DON. They hide behind all those things and said, oh, we have the power and stuff like that, and you're just a little CNA. We could get rid of you and stuff like that. And nurses that you work with and co-workers know exactly what's going on. And instead of this, say, you know what? This did not happen.
Okay.
They hide behind them, too, and they stay back and, you know, and when things happen to them, that's the time they try to grab on for you to come and latch on to them.
Okay, hold on. Elaine, because I can tell you're very passionate about it, and you just left work, so I know it's still on you. All right, so just get a hold of that energy you have. So I'm going to let Sean address some of the things that you were saying. So from what I gather, she's talking mostly about if the residents have a behavior issue, how do you deal with that? How do you speak to management, and management doesn't want to listen to you and would rather fire you then give you a way to deal with the problem.
Right. Again, you want to document the incidents with these residents and speak with your superiors and supervisors at work. If that isn't effective, you then want to go to your union rep.
Okay. So do the best you can with that, Elaine. I hope that was helpful. Listen, we are looking forward to your phone calls. We have Sean Page Esquire joining us from the law firm of Johnson, Russick and Page. He's given out advice on what to do if you have been accused of something you did not do, and also the legal ramifications of revenge. But if you've ever been accused of something that you did not do, I want to know, how did you handle it? Part two, if you're in the midst of something right now and you're looking for advice, give us a call. 215-263-1039. Alfonso, stay on the line. We're going to come right to you, but we're going to take a break, and we'll return with more conversation after this.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station. Now, back to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's inspiration station.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us this morning on Praise in the City. The phone number is 215-263-1039. Have you ever been accused of something you didn't do? If so, how did you handle it? If you're in the midst of a situation right now and you're looking for some legal advice, give us a call. 215-263-1039. Let's speak with Alfonso, calling in from the Philadelphia area. Alfonso, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, ma'am. How you doing today?
Good. How you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Fantastic. Okay, what's your question?
Okay, my question, I'm going through a similar situation. I work for a major beverage company in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. and I'm a maintenance mechanic. And when I started, you know, I'm an African-American, and most African-American mechanics only lasted 1 year. So I've been here now going on 9 years. So from the beginning, I had a problem with this one supervisor. My question is, everybody knows about this situation, right? Managers, employees, whatever. But it's hard. You cannot really involve them in your situation. But how do you get at least some of them or someone to admit to a higher, like HR or whatever, you know, about this particular supervisor that I have, what's going on, you know, and it's real stressful. Like I said, I've been going through this for 9 years.
Okay, let's see what Sean can do for you. That's Alfonso we're talking.
Good morning, Alfonso.
Good morning.
To answer your question, how do you get someone else or a coworker to admit witnessing this harassment? I don't know that you can. However, if you do feel like you're being discriminated against or harassed based on your race or color, there is recourse. You can file a claim with the EEOC. That's the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. If you file a claim with the EEOC, you would then, if that organization, federal organization, believed that your claim had merit, they would certify your claim. It's called a charge of discrimination. And at that point, you would have leave to file a federal lawsuit against the beverage company. However, before you do any of that, I would recommend that you consult with a labor attorney.
Okay. Okay. Now, I filed before with the EEOC.
Okay.
EEOC. And I dropped the charges because I had a manager that was here, but he left and got a higher position. He backed the guy off of me. He seen through the shenanigans and, you know, basically calmed him down. But he has gotten a promotion. He's not here anymore. And it's starting again. And I regret dropping it now. And but like I said before, it's the same situation. It's hard to get even managers, supervisors, employees to admit to something like that. I wouldn't want to ask them to put their job on the line for me like that. But just for one person, all I need is just one person to say, yeah, we see it, and, you know, it's a problem with it. Because I said it's actually hard to get evidence against this person, but it's like really right in your face. But it's hard to get the evidence that, you know, to substantiate, the, you know, the allegation or the claim or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's my dilemma.
Well, Alfonso, it sounds like you may have to follow through with that EEOC claim next time.
Okay. Do you have a number I can call you later or after this program is over? I actually get ready to work right now.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. My name is Sean Page.
Sean Page. Okay.
And the number at my office is 215-732-7900.
215-32, what was it?
215-732-7900.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much, Alfonso, and best of luck to you.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Let's go to line one and speak with Pierre calling from the Philadelphia area. Pierre, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How you doing? First of all, thank you, God, that we are live in, we're in 2014.
Yes, amen.
Thank God for that. My thing is this, right? When you get a job, when you're working somewhere, first thing I think that when God gives you a job, like if you ask God for a job and he gives it to you, no matter what people do at the job to fire you, that won't happen. Because I'm seeing it also regarding to the lady that was talking about the RN, the DON. Mm-hmm. I understand where she's coming from because I'm seeing it also. What I do at my job, every time I'm going to a residence room, I always bring somebody else with me. Mm-hmm. Always do that. Always, when you go into a residence room, always have somebody else there with you as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
God is there to protect you. Also, if somebody is there as a witness, they cannot say that you did something that you didn't do.
Okay. Okay.
So the best thing to do is always have somebody there with you. Because when God gives you something, no one else could take it away from you. No matter what they try to do, mm-hmm. they ain't going to do it. Because guess what? Judas is there. And we need Judas in our life. Because okay. without Judas, we won't know how God is good for us. Because
right.
things have to happen to us for us to know what God is, you know, how good it is.
All right. And that's great, Pierre. I thank you so much for stating that. And hopefully Elaine was able to listen to your advice as well as Sean's advice. Thank you so much for calling. And thank you for listening to the show this morning. All right. Take care. We're looking for your phone call at 215-263-1039. Have you ever been accused of something you didn't do? If so, how did you handle it? Or are you in the midst of a situation right now and you're looking for some legal advice? Give us a call. 215-263-1039. Sean, how do you approach a situation? You see a lot of movies about it where you're, you know, at the office place, you pretty much get along with your coworkers, but you realize there's some corruption going on. And it's like you cannot sit there and watch this corrupt situation happen. What advice would you give to someone for handling that? What should they do? And what legal advice would you give them for what they should do?
Well, in the workforce, there are different types of illegalities and corruptions mm-hmm. and things like that. So it would depend on the type of corruption this individual is witnessing.
Okay.
However, there are certain federal agencies that protect individuals who have certain information mm-hmm. where and if they want to uncover this type of activity.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain whistleblower laws that protect these individuals from mm-hmm. any type of backlash on the part of the employer. Again, they should contact an attorney,
mm-hmm.
Seek legal advice before moving forward on something like this and make sure that they adequately mm-hmm. protect themselves.
Okay. So when doing that, if you discover you're in a situation that could potentially be dangerous, so if you have no allies in the situation, if you're the only one that objects to what you see that's going on, that is wrong, and it seems like you could be in a little bit of danger if you speak up, what should that person do?
Well, I don't think it changes very much.
Okay.
Those same laws, those same protections,
mm-hmm.
Federal protections that will assist an individual who is uncovering some form of corruption in the workplace
mm-hmm.
could protect them from all types of danger, mm-hmm. whether it be threats to them personally, their family, their mm-hmm. employment, or what have you. So they definitely want to, again, consult with an attorney and make sure they have the proper safeguards in place.
Okay. Back to that personal surveillance thing. What are you allowed to do in terms of, like, say, if I'm in a meeting and I have a smartphone and you can record on your smartphone audio. Am I allowed to record secretly that meeting to kind of prove that this, that, and the other is going on, i.e. to uncover corruption or clear my name for something? Am I allowed to do that?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Why? Am I not?
Well, you can't record conversations with others without the other's permission. Mm-hmm. You can't, you know, go around secretly recording people on telephone conversations in the workplace, mm-hmm. So on and so forth. These type of documents would not be admitted in a court of law against the other, and you could potentially be violating some law. So you want to mm-hmm. be careful in terms of what you record, surveil, mm-hmm. especially in the workplace.
So that, I just see that, not that that has been my experience at all, I could see that being highly frustrating. You're in the middle of, like, I hear you admitting stuff that you're telling other people you didn't do, or I hear you saying you're going to get me by setting me up, or, you know, lying, admitting that you're lying to me. And I can't, I have a device that can prove it, and I'm not allowed to use it.
Well, there are certain protections. We all have certain protections mm-hmm. That prevent individuals from doing that. Mm-hmm. However, what you could do is report this. Your testimony in a court of law would be admissible as to what this other individual said as an admission against that party. Mm-hmm. However, there are certain federal laws that just won't allow you to secretly record the conversations that you have with another person.
Okay. If you hired a private investigator for something, they're able to do that, aren't they?
They can't. No, they can't tap a phone or, you know.
I don't mean tap a phone, right, but record a conversation like live.
Well, potentially. Okay. Potentially, depending on the circumstances. But again, maybe tap a phone wasn't the right verbiage. But if individuals are conversing mm-hmm. over telephone, that's completely off limits.
Okay.
But in some circumstances, even if these individuals are live or in mm-hmm. person, but in some criminal investigations, an individual can personally wear a wiretap mm-hmm. and go in and speak with an individual. So it varies.
Okay.
But back to the original question mm-hmm. as to whether an individual can do this at work, and I stand by my okay. original.
Is there if there is a situation, and I'm trying to cover all the bases because I've heard so many wild stories about people being in these bizarre situations where they're accused of something, and they didn't do it, but they had no way to prove that they didn't do it, and they weren't believed, you know, when they tried to talk to the proper people, they weren't believed and either lost their job or were in jeopardy of losing their job, or if nothing else, their reputation was damaged. Even if they didn't lose the job, other people believed that they did this thing, whatever it is. If they're in a meeting and the meeting itself is being recorded, and everybody knows it, you know, but the recording stays on and it captures something and you happen to obtain that, can you use that?
Yes, I believe that's fair game. Mm-hmm. Again, the distinction in that example is that everyone knew
it was being recorded.
That it was being recorded.
But you taking that piece of the, and I'm old school, I'll say tape, but you taking that piece of the recording, are you in trouble for actually commandeering that piece of the recording if it is not your recording device?
Potentially. Mm-hmm. If it were the property of the employer and you did not have authorization to mm-hmm. remove that property.
Okay.
That could be a form of embezzlement or some form of theft.
Wow. Embezzlement. I wouldn't have thought to put embezzlement on that.
Well, yeah, absolutely. If you are given something or have access to something by or through your employer mm-hmm. and you take it and you don't return it, or you take it and use it in a method or manner in which you aren't authorized to use it, mm-hmm, that could mm-hmm. be a form of embezzlement. So it's a thin line. I mean, just because everyone knows that this recording is going on doesn't automatically give you ownership or authorization to use it.
Okay. When it comes to protecting your home, what are you not allowed to do? You're allowed to have cameras, clearly. What are you not allowed to do?
Well, under the law, the home is the most sanctified realm. Mm-hmm. So there isn't much you can't do in protection of yourself within your own home.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't much you can't do within reason in protection of your property within your own home.
Mm-hmm.
All the way to the point where the law imposes no duty on you to retreat in your own home if you're being threatened. So you can record, you can protect yourself. You can do almost what you have to do to protect yourself inside your residence.
Okay. I hear that, you know, so many weird things happen and people are like, yo, I could get in trouble for this if I set up, I don't know, if you set up a surveillance and the camera is pointing in the wrong direction and it's covering more than just your property.
Well, yeah, there could be issues if you set up surveillance and by happenstance, the surveillance reaches into
your neighbor's yard.
Not necessarily your neighbor's yard, because if it that may not be hidden from the public. So that portion of that person's property may not be private. But if it reaches into their home, that could be an issue.
Okay, so if you're surveilling like your backyard and it does cover a little bit of your neighbor's yard, that's not a problem.
That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, just wanted to know when you're thinking about these things in terms of protecting yourself if you're being accused or whatnot. I like to know, what am I not allowed to do? God forbid anything happens. I just want to cover myself so I don't end up in a jam. And I start doing something like recording a conversation secretly, and I could get in trouble for it. All right, we want you to give us a call at 215-263-1039. I think we have room for one phone call before we close today. 215-263-1039. Have you ever been accused of something that you didn't do? How did you handle that? If not, if you're in the midst of a situation and you're looking for legal advice, this is your last couple of minutes to get that in. 215-263-1039. What's the worst case of this that you've ever had to deal with? Someone being accused of something and they had to prove that they did not do it.
Well, the most severe, the most extreme case is the scorned boyfriend or girlfriend who makes certain allegations, maybe not criminal allegations, but oftentimes you have individuals who are involved with one another working for the same employer, and one of the two ultimately gets terminated. And you oftentimes hear, well, I didn't think it would go this far.
Right.
And that's usually, and oftentimes
the love stuff is the most vicious, more so than work. The love stuff can be really, really vicious. I know we have a caller trying to get their question, and so we want to get to them as quickly as possible. With the love thing, and I know we don't even have that much time, I wanted to cover that more, but if your ex or current accuses you of a crime, what should you do? Crime being theft or child molestation or rape, something like that. What should you do at that moment that you're accused?
Obviously, consult an attorney immediately. And that attorney should engage an investigator. The investigator will then go out and speak with family, friends, neighbors, and try to gather any and all information that would disprove these claims that have been lies against the client by the scorned lover.
If you don't have the money for such an investigator, what can you do?
Well, you can always go to the Defenders Association. That's a free service organization that defends individuals charged with criminal matters in Philadelphia, and they will provide not only the attorney but also the investigators for you.
How can you repair damage if the accusation results in some jail time before it's even proven? Like if you're taken downtown and you're sitting in jail waiting for some sort of preliminary, what can you do to repair? Oh, let's hold that question. Let's go to Kathy. She's calling in from the Philadelphia or Pennsylvania area. Kathy, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
I'm going to make this fast. He told me I only had a few minutes. I had two parts. One, hopefully encouraging somebody, and the other is to ask, is it true what I was told? Uh-huh. One is I had a 30-plus year employment, and I had gotten a new boss. She wasn't new to the company. As a matter of fact, she'd been here 40 years, but she hadn't been a boss for many years. And she was installed over me and started to find fault with my work. I had been doing this job for a year or more and had been given the clearance on everything I've been doing by the prior boss who had to retire.
Okay.
The bottom line is it went in the worst way possible. It lasted 8 months of nightmare to the point where I not only broke my stride, it broke my spirit. I didn't care. We ended up in review time. They gave me, for the first time, I've always been a significant contributor.
Yeah.
I got an unsatisfactory. It gave me 3 months to do whatever it is they take, and they had the option of termination. My spirit was so broken, I chose to let them let me go. 34 years, I knew what I'd been doing, and I knew I need to be open to change, and I was. But there was clear stuff that had taken place, and these were higher-up bosses. And when I say high up, one was very high. In the end, we ended up in an HR situation on a Monday. On a Thursday, a big transition came, and the highest up boss got let go, and my immediate boss got redirected. So that was the victory from God. But this is my question. In HR, they say I shouldn't talk about this to the other coworkers. Now, I'm not one to do that. I did have a couple of close friends, but that was my personal business. But I thought that was my story to tell.
Okay, so
could they forbid me for not, you know, within the company speaking to another employee?
All right, Sean.
To a certain extent, in terms of your personal business, your personal affairs, no. However, although this may have affected you personally, it was company business, and it was being discussed on company time. So, to a degree, they could request that you not discuss this with your coworkers.
Wow. Okay, well, that's shocking. And again, I don't need to, you know, I'm one of those that I work off the clock for you for free. I work on the clock for you. I've always been that kind of worker. So this thing came out left lane in such a way. But in the end, like I said, God did that. I thought I was gone, but I'm still here. And it's maybe 8 months later, I'm still here. And, you know, but it just blew my mind. I was told that I could not discuss this with someone.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you for asking the question. And definitely thank you for listening to the program today.
Thank you, ma'am. You guys have a blessed day.
All right. You do the same. Bye. All right. Bye-bye. Sean, thank you so much. Sean Page Esquire joining us from Johnson, Russick and Page. How can people reach out to you if they have any other legal questions?
Thank you for having me again, Tiffany. We can be reached at Johnson, Russick & Page. We're located at 123 South Broad Street, Suite 2500 in Philadelphia. Our phone number is 215-732-7900.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. Much love to my offsite producer, Donovan West, and my in-studio producer, Larry. Thank you for all that you do. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows is next. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Praise in the City with Tiffany Bacon on Praise 103.9, Philadelphia's Inspiration Station.